Today on Real Radio.
It makes perfect sense to me that God would give us his Bible. I love this. That God would give us his Bible and keep it pure for us. Have people tried to discredit and pollute the Bible? Certainly. But hasn't God preserved his word for us even to this 21st century?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. We're all familiar with the account of David slaying Goliath all with one shot. Now, most of us likely first heard of that event when we were kids. But as we're learning, not only is this no children's story, but there is a lot to be unpacked from the text that we may not have seen before. That's why Pastor Jack has made this into a multi-part series taken from chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. It's called Winning the Battles of Life.
His worst critics who hated him confess that he rose again from the dead. Yes, you can go to Jerusalem and see his empty tomb, but that's really truly not the point. The point is his word is more sure than the empty tomb being emptied. His word never fails. You say, well, Pastor, are you trying to talk yourself into believing that? I believe it because it's true. You can test it. You can put the Word of God in a laboratory and perform experiments on it, and you will come to a conclusion. It is the Word of God, and it is true. You know, we don't have anything to do on a Wednesday night, so let's just get together. We're here because it's true. We're here because he's real. We're not hoping that we sure hope the Bible turns out to be true in the end. Brother, if that's the deal, I'm out of here now. I got better things to do. No, we're here because we're investing in something we know to be a fact. Yeah, you Christians take that blind leap of faith. You know what? Did you ever consider that the Christian faith is faith founded upon fact? I love that. I could get really... I'm not going to, though. We're going to keep going. Test the scriptures. Match them against history. Match them against science. Match them against what's practical. You know, it's amazing to me how many businesses in the world have these brown bag seminars and they employ biblical principles. They just disguise them. They don't tell you it's coming from the Bible because it's practical, not only scientific and historic. But it's practical. Second point tonight, winning the battles of life. We have a cause because in verses 25 to 27, eternity's benefits await us. Mark it down, please write it. Eternity's benefits await us. Let me explain what that means. He says in verse 25, so the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and give him his daughter. I guess his daughter was a cutie. Now this is the big one for me. Give his father's house exemption from taxes. Wouldn't that be cool? Hallelujah. I'd do it just for that one. Then David spoke to the men who stood by saying, what shall be done for this man? Who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Can I pause there for a second just to insert this? David is basically saying, as they say, hey, David, here's the story. If somebody kills that big knucklehead, they'll get the king's daughter, bunch of bucks, and they'll be tax exempt. And David goes back and says, what will be done? You think that's something? Is that your motive for going to cut this guy's head off? I'll give you a motive. He's defying the God of Israel. That's David's heart. Let's go after him just because he's defying God. Monday night, we went to a movie with some friends. And in this movie, one actor in the movie used the Lord's name in vain. And this family and my family, when we hear that on a TV program or in public or whatever, like if somebody, you know, says Jesus Christ, we'll say, is Lord. Next time you go to a movie, try it. The theater will be silent, I guarantee you. And it's fun because it immediately erases what came out of the screen, and people are now thinking, oh, somebody just back there called Jesus Lord. And they're thinking the whole movie now, Jesus is Lord. I heard that. I'm not going to let the movie ruin my day. Anyway, that happened. And listen, maybe some of you, especially little children, it's so sweet. Little kids, when you have your little kids and you're in the marketplace or you're somewhere, you're at the store, and somebody uses the Lord's name in vain, have you noticed what your kids do? Yeah, they do. That's the first thing they do. And then where do their eyes go? Yeah, right on you, Dad. You know what they're saying? I mean, you'll be standing in line holding your little sweetie's hand, and somebody will say something, and your little kid will go, and they'll look right to you. And you know what they're saying? You're going to beat the tar out of them, aren't you? No, I'm kidding. But they're looking at you saying, hey, do something. Just keep that in mind. I mean, look, don't walk around and be some, you know, morality police. But if somebody ever says something, you know, you hear somebody, oh, you know, Jesus this or whatever, say, is Lord. What? Wait, I thought you were praying. You use the Lord's name and... I thought you were praying. I praise the Lord, and Jesus is Lord. And now David said, look, there's one cause here, and that is they're attacking our God. And the people answered him, verse 27, in this manner. So if you look with me in the verses 25 to 26, this is what we learn about eternity's benefits that await us. And I love this. There are things coming to those who love God that are not of this world. Christian number one, me included, we need to hear this. We need to stop looking as though this world owes us something. This world owes us nothing. This world is wicked, it's rude, it's cold, and not fair. Whatever good has happened in our lives, it's been because God's good. And whatever good has happened in our lives is because our God is gracious and merciful. This world is not good, this world is not fair, and this world does not have one streak of benevolence in its bones. It's dog eat dog. And for those of you who maybe you're in a kind of an arena where that's not true where I live, you're at your company, oh no, you know, it's not where I work. I used to work at one of those places, and that's where it's the most dangerous. They'll pet you on the back, they'll stroke you, they'll position you, and the whole thing. The guy that's behind you promoting you, he's promoting himself, and that's you watch out. You let the Lord be your guide. Let him be your promoter. Just know this, if you're blessed in this life, doesn't the Bible say it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance? Man, if you're in here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, but you've got a good life, you need to thank God now before he takes it away from you. And he's got every right to take it away. He is God and he owes us nothing. But he is God and he loves to bless even the unbeliever. He likes to bless. Eternity's benefits await us. Now watch this. They're things not of this world. And I want that to sink in because listen, if you take the time, and I don't encourage you to waste your time with this, eternity's blessings await us because God would rather deposit into our custody things that will endure forever. Didn't Jesus say, put your treasure in heaven where moth and rust and thieves do not break in and steal them? Why? Because he wants us blessed. Keep that in mind about who we're serving and what your Bible says about our future. Our retirement package, Christian, is awesome. And as I thought about this, it depends on who you talk to. But literally, I know this is going to be offensive, but it is the truth. It depends on who you talk to again. If you follow a certain group, their false teachings, if you follow this certain group, here's the deal that they promise you. And don't tell me later, because you're of that group, that this is not true. It's true. It's been stated to me by more than one of your leaders, and it's in your old writings. Now listen to the perks that come when God is not your perk. You can become a god if you follow this doctrine. Listen, not only that, you can have your own planet. No, listen, don't laugh, because a lot of people believe this. And you can have, and you will have, if you're faithful, 200 celestial wives forever that you will impregnate for eternity, and they will give birth to spirit souls that will reside in a sea of souls awaiting their moment of birth on other planets, to where their spirit baby can meet up with their physical baby and the process can continue on. That is a doctrine. Listen to the perk. Ladies, you listen carefully. A man can become a god and have 200 wives that he'll impregnate throughout eternity. I don't know about you, ladies, but that doesn't sound like heaven to me. But listen to the cord, listen to the weave. You can go to another group when God is not your perk. And if you're willing to die in jihad for this group, you will get your own sexual harem of 72 virgins in heaven that you can have sex and wine, it says, with them forever. Now, ladies, in both those representations of false teachings, I wouldn't want either one of them. I encourage you tonight to seek what the Bible has to say, how men and women, slave and free, rich and poor, are all one in Christ and joint heirs with Christ. I don't understand that. You see, the true benefits of following Jesus Christ are eternal rewards, and it's not our glory. It's not our sexual gratification in eternity forever. It's not some mission that we're going to work on to save other planets in the future. It's God. He's our benefit. He's our reward. Wasn't it told to the tribe of Levi when all the land was divvied up? What was their reward? The Lord was their reward. The people who were the priests of God, they didn't get any land. Oh, don't feel sorry for them. The Lord said, I am your portion. You get me. Psalm 27, verse 4 says, "One thing have I desired, O Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." Listen to what David's desire is. I may dwell. Hey, what's your perk, David? That I would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. No virgins? What? 200 wives? What? No. That I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Man, that's good. And listen, to inquire in his temple. I just want to talk to God. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Paul says, "We are confident, yes, well-pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He is our reward." What are you living for? Is it for him? What are you doing? What are you doing with that work or with that unction, with that passion that you have? Is it for you? Is it for the bottom line? Is it for somebody else? Or is it for the Lord? Philippians 1:23, "For I am hard-pressed between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better," says Paul. Psalm 23, verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. John 14:3, Jesus said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. What's the reward? To be with him. The Bible says in this world we seek as it is dimly or in a cloudy sense. But when we arrive in heaven, we'll see the Lord face to face clearly. What is your reward? What are you doing? What am I doing with the things that God has put in our custody? Is it for his glory? I hope so. Verses 28 to 30, and we end with this. Eternity is serving the purposes of God right now. Oh, scientists tell us that right now, if you mark your stopwatch and it goes 24 hours to tomorrow, our Earth, our galaxy, the universe, the entire observable clusters and clusters of bodies of light that you see in the sky at night, scientists tell us that all of it will have moved over 100 million miles within 24 hours Earth time, this time tomorrow. And you know what? It's as though it's on the bed of a flatbed truck, and it's all going in circuits around each other. And while that's going on, that truck is going down the freeway through space, and we've never hit the wall. And you might say, oh, that's big. It is big. But here's the cool thing. We start to think, if it's that big, then it's infinite. Guess what? Wrong. The material universe cannot be infinite. It's impossible for it to be infinite. That's why when you hear these astrophysicists, they start talking about things, about science, then they start projecting thoughts further out, and they have to go from what? Anybody? From science to philosophical thoughts. Why? Because they have to flirt with eternity and spiritual matters. It drives them crazy. You cannot look at this world in microscopic way or out with telescopes without being flirted with or by the Holy Spirit of God. It's tremendous. The purposes of God. He says in verse 28, now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. I don't know why he's all bent out of shape. Nothing's going on. He said, why do you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? He's making fun of them. Making fun of him, mocking him. But you know what? God's got a plan. God is working something out. He listens to his brother. Didn't Jesus come from heaven to earth to his own people? Didn't they mock him? What are you doing here? Well, there's some things in life that make sense and some things that don't make sense to me. Well, look at the latter end of verse 28 to 30. There are things to me that make perfect sense. It says, I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. I marked that in my Bible. That's hilarious. Was there a battle? They didn't even fight yet. What battle? David probably said, what battle? You guys are all just trembling here. And David said, what have I done now? Doesn't that sound like a brother talking to a brother? What have I done now? You could almost hear him say, you're always saying this to me. What have I done now? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Then David turned from him toward another and said the same thing. You know what he said? Is there not a cause? And these people answered him as the first ones did. They made fun of him. What are you doing here? You know what? I cannot prove this. I only speculate. Everybody was scared to death but David. I think that bothered them. Everybody was shaking in their armor. David not only didn't have any armor on, he wasn't shaking. I think in his eyes and on his face was confidence in God. And they saw it. They saw this young teenage kid. They're going, what's with you? Why don't you go back to your sheep? You're out of touch with how serious the situation is. Well, eternity is serving the purposes of God, and it's happening right now as we are here tonight. And there are things to me that just make perfect sense. Makes perfect sense to me. Being a Christian and reading the Bible, that God would use a shepherd to fight a battle. You see, before I was a Christian, that does not make sense. And I wrote some things down. It makes perfect sense to me that God created everything. That makes sense to me. It makes perfect sense to me that He loves His creation. It's evident to me. I wrote down that it makes perfect sense to me that He built into creation, into human beings, the ability of choice. That makes perfect sense to me. You can't have choice without true. You can't have true worship and true relationship without choice. God did that. It makes perfect sense to me that God would give us His Bible. I love this. That God would give us His Bible and keep it pure for us. Have people tried to discredit and pollute the Bible? Certainly. But hasn't God preserved His Word for us even to this 21st century? That blows my mind. I love it. He's faithful. He's preserved in your lap the Bible. People make fun of it. Oh, look, you boo Bible reader, you. Oh, look, he's reading his Bible. Let him whine. Let him whine on. If they only knew what I thought about them. No, really. I pity them. They're quick to criticize, but forever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. It makes perfect sense to me that God would preserve His Bible. It makes perfect sense to me that God would know me personally. It makes perfect sense to me that God would love me, a sinner. It makes perfect sense to me that God would come down to this earth for me. It makes perfect sense to me that His Son would die on the cross for me. It makes perfect sense to me. It makes perfect sense to me that God wants us in heaven with Him. You know why? It makes perfect sense to me that this God, who allows human life to exchange love one toward another, that this God must love way more than we could ever love. That makes perfect sense to me. When you look at David with his little sandals, his sling, if you don't know the Lord, it doesn't make any sense. But if you know the Lord, it makes perfect sense. Our battles, God has won the war. He's granted us the promise of victory in battle.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Winning the Battles of Life. Winning the Battles of Life is actually a fascinating multi-part miniseries taken from our verse-by-verse journey through 1 Samuel. Of course, chapter 17 is the famous account of the Philistine giant Goliath being slain by young David, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series, Winning the Battles of Life, is available for you in a 5-CD set. You know, Scripture is full of military and battle references, both metaphorical and literal. Why? Well, because quite honestly, if you're a true believer, you are in a war. That's the truth, whether you want to be or not. Here's the good news. Our chief commander-in-chief is in control. And of course, he, and only he, is the Most High God. These are the topics Pastor Jack addresses in his series called Winning the Battles of Life. Now here's our offer. For your gift to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-CD set, Winning the Battles of Life. Now whether you call, click, or write, mention it by name, Winning the Battles of Life, and we'll get it right out to you. Visit us at our new reallifewithjackhibbs.org website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and then click on Special Offer, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the mere cost of a stamp, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.